Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
I shared the fact that I've been diagnosed with colorectal cancer, and so we're on that journey. And this last Wednesday, Linda and I went to the BC Cancer Agency, which is in Abbotsford, and that's where they told us what stage the cancer was in. So the cancer that I have, there are four different stages, and I'm stage three. The good news is that the fellow we were talking with, the oncologist, said this is curable. That was the good news. That was the good news part of it. It looks like a couple of lymph nodes have probably been compromised by the cancer, but we won't know that for sure until the surgery. So the way it looks now is this coming week we're going to go in for what's called aggressive radiation. So we have 5 days of that. I've got three tattoos. Yeah, no kidding. Come on. They're little unicorns. They're awesome. They're here. They're so cool. And so I got three tattoos, and that's what they're going to do, line up all the radiation. So there are five of those treatments, and then I have 5 days off, and then I have the surgery after that. So I'm going to light up like a light bulb. It's going to be amazing. So that's the update, and thank you so much, everybody, for praying and been with us, and we are really so discovering what community is all about. It really is something else. So thank you, and I mean that very sincerely. So one of the things I've noticed, as we're kind of going through the medical system, it seems like every time you see somebody or you walk into a different door or whatever, they're asking you questions about who you are. So when were you born? What's your full name? You got to give them that. What's your address? Next week, I think they're going to be asking for a DNA sample. It's just going crazy like that. But they just want to make sure, of course, that they know who you are, because they don't want to give what you have to somebody else. That doesn't make sense. And I think in my case, because I'm getting a bit older, I think they really want to make sure that I know who I am. Just like, are you sure? So identity, it seems to be so important. We've been talking a lot about our identity here. Last week and this week, we want to talk about who we are, meaning Living Waters Church, this community. Identity is important. Last week, Luke talked about our name, Living Waters, and what that means. It was so cool as he took us back to the woman at the well. And, Jesus was there for her to provide her with living water to replace her own well and her own broken cistern, as he does with us, to replace our wells and our broken cisterns. And so this living water is available for all of us. It's at the hands of Jesus that we have it. And really, as Luke described it last week, I love this description, that we really are a community of thirsty people. Thirsty people. We're hungry and thirsty for more of the Lord and what he has for us. I think that's a great description of our church. So that's part of our identity. That's part of our name. And so when you think about Living Waters, don't think just about a church name. Think about what that means for us, that we are a thirsty people. So with that life-giving kind of picture in mind, what I want to do is spend a few minutes tonight and talk about our values, our core values. We like to do this at least once every year because it's important, because they help us to know our identity as we move forward. We are a diverse family. There's no doubt about it. You just kind of look around the room and we're all really different. We come from different places, different backgrounds, different experiences. But we have this fantastic common bond that holds us together. And that bond, of course, is Jesus Christ. Our belief that he is the Son of God, that he has rescued us through the work of the cross and his resurrection. We're family. And we are family. And it's not just because it's a cool thing to say or that we say it. We're family because the Bible says it. That's exactly what the Bible calls us. Look at John chapter 1, verse 12. But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. We're God's kids. We're in his family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. I was trying to think about us over those last couple of weeks. Like, what would be a picture of us? And I think really our Living Waters family is a bit like a salad. We have tomatoes, we've got cucumbers, we've got carrots, we've got the occasional zucchini. And the cool thing is that we've all landed in the same salad bowl. And I love that. I love that picture. And you know, the fact of the matter is, on our own, you know, as a carrot or tomato or zucchini, we're tasty enough. You know, we have our own peace. But it's in the combined salad that we discover our greater purpose and our best flavor. We're best when we're together. See, together we're this amazing combination of textures and tastes, and that combination really uniquely makes us who we are in this community. Well, of course, we're not the only salad on the block. The good chef has prepared many amazing salads. There are Caesar salads, and there are Waldorf salads, and there's some bean salads, and all of those, and each have their own flavor. They really do. But we're all in that salad family, and it's such a cool illustration, soon to lose its impact. But I tell you what, it's our unique flavor as a church. It's our unique flavor. That's what I want to camp on tonight. And I think that that flavor, who we are, really is best illustrated in our values. In our values. Our values help to define for us who we are as a community. And they also help us to define that forward direction, like where we're going, where the Lord is leading us. You know, lots of places have got a pretty pithy kind of mission statement or vision statement. You know, you put it out a couple lines and it's on all your stationery and it's over the door and all of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we've chosen here not to have sort of that vision or mission statement. Our sense was that if we got to that place, we might kind of try to corral what God wants to do here. So what we've decided to do is just allow the Lord to decide our vision moving forward. He is our mission statement. And so we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we are guided and we are empowered by Him. But we have decided that we are going to have a core values here that really would kind of, I think, describe our heartbeat, core values. And so we have seven of those, and I want to talk about them tonight. If you've been here for any time, you will have heard us talk about those core values, if not specifically in general terms as we're speaking. Those core values are posted in our lobby. You can go to our website, which has got this great new look. You need to check it out. And our core values are there. In fact, the expanded versions, a version of our core values are there. Tonight I'm going to be using a summarized version, but you can find them there, as well as our new welcome booklet. So we've got them in different places because we think they're important that you know what they are and what they say. So we're going to take a bit of time looking at them tonight. Here's the bottom line, though. Each value that I share with you is biblically based. It is right out of the Bible. And the idea of every core value is to point us towards Jesus, every one of them. And that our behaviors, our responses would be Jesus-like. That's the whole idea of the core values going forward. So let's begin. Let me just tell you about our core value of community. You know that's big around here. This is what it says. We know God has designed us to be together. We're meant to honor, encourage, challenge, and care for each other. Simply put, we love one another. And perhaps this value, more than on any other, describes our essential starting point as a family. Listen, without community, the church cannot thrive. Let me say that again. Without community, the church cannot thrive. Simply put, the essence of community is the essence of Jesus. And that is all about love. It's all about relationship. The church, the local church, is God's idea. And our practice of Christian community, I think, is a true indication of whether or not we're getting what the church was meant to be all about. Here's something else that I think is important for us to understand. You're not here by happen chance. It's not just because you decided to drive here that you're here. You're here because God wants you here. The Holy Spirit, in some way or another, has whispered to your heart, and you're in this house. The body of Jesus, the church, is supernatural in nature. It's not of man. It's of God. It is of His design. And so the fact that you're here tonight, yeah, you want to be here in the sense of obedience. But the Holy Spirit has whispered to your spirit, and you're here. We are supernatural in nature. And when we recognize that and we work as that kind of a body, incredible things happen. You see, that's a huge part of what community is all about. It's within the context of community that we know love and we are able to love others well, even sometimes when it's hard. That love is expressed here every Sunday in the house as we gather together over our four services. We have this opportunity to express that love to one another. We express it even more specifically within our life groups. And Ryan was talking about them earlier. Our life groups aren't just sort of cool little places to connect, you know, every week or every second week. They, I believe, are also the essence of what real community is about. It's where we meet with one another in a smaller circle, maybe 5, 10, 12 people. We get to hear each other's stories, and we pray for one another. We anticipate things for one another. We do life together. See, life groups, I think, are an essential part of our being believers. I really do. I think that is where we find this wonderful essence of what community is all about. And we encourage everybody, if you can, to belong to a life group. And I'll tell you what, it doesn't have to be a Living Waters life group. If you're going to Trinity or another college and they have groups there, then you can belong there. We just think being together is important. Being in a place that you can just be with others, to love them and to be loved, it's huge. It's in the context of community that we say, you're welcome here. Community says, good community says, you are welcome. You see, we are an open and an inviting community here. We say that there is plenty of room at the table, and you are welcome to this house. It's what Jesus taught, and it is what Jesus lived, and it is what we have to be as a church, a place of welcome. How we practice community here affects those who come, who hear about this house. If we sound like a bunch of stuck-up, stick-in-the-muds, holier-than-now types, like who'd want to come? I wouldn't. When somebody comes to the house, do we welcome them or do we ignore them? No, we welcome them. You see, we practice community. We are a people of invitation. It's so important that what we learn together here in community, it takes us not just into this place, but outside of these walls, and we practice that kind of community there as well. It goes in both places. So important for us. We all have to be in that place that we're saying, you are welcome here. You're welcome to the Lord's table. Come and join me here. And we'll work this stuff out together. Let me also say this about community. We are far from perfect. We talk a lot about community, but we're far from perfect when it comes to community. You know, God is growing His church. We think there are probably about 800 people who would call this their church home today. We're going to miss some folks along the way. We just are. So we're not perfect at community, but we're trying. And you need to try. I'll tell you what, community is your responsibility, as it is my responsibility, as it is Ryan's responsibility, or anybody's responsibility. We all have the responsibility to make people feel welcome here. So when we say community time is there and you're to meet others that you don't know, that's a responsibility that you have. That's how community starts, real community starts. And also, you need to know that if you are new in this house, welcome. We are glad you're here, and we want to encourage you to engage. Don't sit back. Most of us are nice people, and we would love to have an opportunity to meet with you. So don't be afraid about going and grabbing a coffee or a tea or whatever. We would love to have. And in fact, instead of, you know, going in the lineup and getting a coffee or tea, take somebody's tea. No, seriously, just take their tea and then see if the response is Christian or not. And then it'll be a bit of a measurement. My hope is that they're going to say, well, bless you with that. No, this is good. I'm kidding around. But, you know, we need to be a place of welcome, like real welcome here. And so please feel free to engage, as we will engage with you. And we won't be weird about it. Let me just tell you what's not welcome in this house. We don't welcome church politics here. We have no room for it. We don't welcome personal individual agendas here. Not welcome. We don't welcome divisive attitudes or holier-than-thou spirits. They are not welcome in this house, not unless they're ready to be healed. In this community, our first get-go is to expect the best of each other. We just expect the best of each other. That's the first place that we want to go. And we recognize that as we all collect together here in community, that we collect together as a broken people. All of us are broken in one way or another. We're not going to be perfect. But we come here with a full goal and desire to know Jesus better and to become more like Jesus. That's good community. I just want to say a quick word for those who may be here a part of our community and just come from another church community. We know that God moves us from place to place from time to time. That happens. It just does. We have people who have been attending Living Waters will attend another house for a time or a season, and that's very cool. The only thing that we would ask is that if you have come from another church setting, that you leave well, that you've had the opportunity to talk with the pastor there or the leadership, and they know that, and just so do you leave well. See, we're a broad community here, and we want to honor and respect the community of God, and I think that's just a good thing. You're welcome in this house. If you feel God is bringing you to this place, welcome, 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 but please make sure that you've left well. Now, we understand that in some cases that may be hard to do, and if that's the case, we would be happy to work with you to help you to leave as well as you can from that place. So just a word about that, but we're very delighted that you're here. Okay, let me talk about authenticity. Here's what that value says. We desire to be the real thing, followers of Jesus who say what we do and do what we say. We're not interested in masks or any form of hypocrisy. This means that we're honest with God and one another and about how we're doing and feeling, even when it's rough. This is a come-as-you-are community. This is a come-as-you-are community. The last thing in the world that we want is for someone to come here to think that they have to be somebody that they're not. And you know that sometimes in the church world, we can come and just feel like we've got to get all dressed up, all gussied up, you know, whatever, and make everything look perfect. I just say this, getting dressed up in our Sunday best to cover our Saturday worst makes no sense at all. It makes no sense at all. No, you come here as you are. We're not interested in playing church. That's not the least bit of what we're interested in at all. This has got to be the real meal deal. It's got to be that. And you know, in the midst of our thankfulness to God and our worship and all of that, in the midst of all of that, we come as a broken people. We haven't got it all figured out. We come here some Sundays and maybe we're feeling pretty beat up or broken up. Awesome, come. At least you're here. Maybe you come on a Sunday and you're just mad. Maybe you haven't been able to figure out this God thing and what is he doing in my life and I'm just mad at him. You know what? People who are mad at God, they're welcome in this house. People who are disappointed with Jesus, they're welcome in this house. People who are on the mountaintop and have experienced incredible things of God, you're welcome in this house. This house, this salad. See, we're all in it together and you're welcome here. I said this a while ago, and I'll say it again, and I'll probably keep on saying it, but if the best thing you can do is get up in the morning because you're so depressed that you can hardly get out of bed, and the best thing you can do is just put on your house coat and come to church, that's all that you can do, you come in your house coat. Seriously. You come in your house coat. You come as you are. See, it's so much better that you're here. Like, if you won't show up because you got to get dressed up, then somehow we've missed the message. We've missed the message. Well, you come as you are. You come as you are. I want to just talk a little bit about hypocrisy. We mentioned it specifically in our value. You know that the world out there is really quick to condemn the church, and particularly any hypocrisy it feels it sees in the church. And sometimes, you know, that criticism is not right. But sometimes it is. Our witness is important, how we are as believers in Christ. This is the truth. Authenticity is refreshing. It's healing and it's inviting. But hypocrisy is disturbing and it damages us. So what we're saying there, because Jesus said it to us, is that we don't want to be whitewashed tombs. We want to be real. We want to be with real here and we want to be real outside there. If outside of these walls people expect you to be perfect because you tell them you're perfect, they will see right through that, and they will call you a hypocrite. And that is not helpful to the church, and it's not helpful to you, and it is not helpful for your neighbor. We just want to be who we are. We're Christian. We're not perfect. In fact, some of us are pretty broken. But we walk with a Jesus who takes care of those things for us. And that's just the truth. So we want to be real here and outside. So whether you have great faith or no faith, whether you are messed up or you are recovered, be who you are. You're welcome in this house. You're welcome in this house. We undertake this journey together. The next value I want to talk about is spiritual formation. This is what it says. We want to be more like Jesus, and this is a journey. We respect the notion that we're all at different places along the way and celebrate the fact that each of us have chosen the same path. We're a people of prayer and we're guided by Scripture. We believe that our spiritual growth depends on a disciplined life that includes both. We really recognize the fact, we get the fact that we're here on this planet and we're here only for a short time. This is really about getting ready for the big deal, for our eternity in heaven. And we recognize along the way that all of us are at different places in our faith. In this house, we've got people who are wondering about Jesus and haven't made a decision, which is great. Glad you're here. We've got people in this house that are brand new to Jesus and have just made a decision, and they're doing their best to try to kind of figure that out. We've got people who've been here long-term, mid-term, short-term. We've got people here that were born in the pew. Awesome. It's that whole salad piece again. We're just all at different places. But in this house, we respect the fact that we're all at different places. There is no expectation for you to be at a place other than what you're at. Nobody's going to be looking down their nose at you because you've only been a believer for 3 months. You see, in this house, everybody's equal. We are all equal. I think that's exactly what Jesus says. And so we recognize the fact that we're all in the same journey. And not only do we recognize that, we celebrate that. Come on, we're all walking closer to Jesus, and that's a good thing. Doesn't matter if you're here, there, or whatever, we're on the same journey, and that is awesome. One of the things that we did last year is that we came up with a framework of discipleship, and we call it the journey. It really helps us to kind of articulate the sameness of our path, but it also reflects our differences in terms of our experiences. But the picture really is about heading forward. It's all infused with the biblical values that we've been talking about. We are all moving forward. We're all at different stages. And as you look at those different stages, there's different things that we do within discipleship to help to train, to teach, to call on, and to encourage. And we'll be asking you to be a part of that. Our house salad is this wonderful combination of Christian experiences. But listen, as believers in Christ, when we come here, it's in agreement on the majors of our faith. Jesus is the Son of God. His resurrection, his place at the right hand of the Father, the sending of the Holy Spirit to guide and equip us. We choose in this house to major on the majors. We don't major on the minors. We have many faith expressions here. Many people who have come from different churches and different backgrounds, and we don't always believe exactly the same way on the minors, but we're together on the majors. And we say in this house, we celebrate the majors. And rather than allowing the minors ever to become divisive, what we do is we say, let's talk about the minors because that's good for us. It enriches our experience as we learn from one another and our different backgrounds and different thoughts and all of that. It's so good for us to do that. But we major on the majors. We don't major on the miners. Living Waters is a Pentecostal church. We believe and we will continue to teach about the present-day nature of the gifts, of the sending of the Holy Spirit in a second baptism to empower his church for mission, as it is recorded in the book of Acts. That is our DNA in this church, and we will continue to teach that and encourage others to delve into the things of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that that's not everybody's experience based on where you're at, but we're going to take the opportunity to teach about it. We're going to talk about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And in fact, on November 1st and 2nd, we're going to have a Holy Spirit weekend because we believe that we should all be diving in. And you're more than welcome to come and just to learn more about the empowerment of the Spirit. Very cool stuff. Very cool stuff. So important for us to engage. That's the bottom line. Engage in our faith. Be great disciples of Jesus. Worship is another value that we have. We recognize God for who he is and what he's done. And because of this, we're drawn to a place of worship. We worship with our entire lives. Of course, we worship God in all forms. We really do. Anything that we do during the day can be worship to our Lord. It really is just recognizing who he is as sovereign, and we place him there in our heart. And so often, you know, in the church, we think that worship is the singing, but it's not about the singing. The worship is our life. It's how we live. And so this really talks about the fact that we live as worshipers of God. When we have worship music here, the whole idea of that is to draw us closer to Jesus. The idea is to call us on to focus on who he is. It is an awesome time for us as community to gather together and just to focus our hearts. So that's what worship music is all about. It's not the only way we worship, but it's part of what we do on a Sunday gathering here. Do you know that we have 9 different worship teams? I love that. I really do. We have a variety of people and a variety of styles. So cool. But they're all about worshiping Jesus. And I know that for many of you, depending on where you've come from, what church you've come from, or what your experience has been, sometimes it's a bit odd. You're going like, why has he got his hand up in the air? I don't really understand that. You know, when you come in and we're singing and worship, or maybe he's kind of moving to the music a little too much. Are you supposed to do that in church? You know, we all come from different places. I'm here to tell you tonight that however you worship is great. You don't need to raise your hands up if you don't want to. If you want to worship in a more contemplative style with your hands by your side, that's totally perfect. If you want to worship on your knees, you can do that. If you want to lay out on the floor, you can do that. If you want to dance, you can do that. See, there is no prescribed form of worship that says it has to be that. There are no rules about worship. The only thing that we want to do is encourage you to engage in worship. And if you get stuck in a box that doesn't let you get out of it, we want you to explore some new things in worship because it's good for you. It's good for you. So maybe next week, you know, when we're singing in worship, maybe put up one hand. Okay, that was a risk. I'll try it again. All right, it's good. And maybe the next week it's both. Okay, that was really good. I'm joking, but you know, walk it out. Try something a little different, honestly. Really, change is good. And just when it comes to worship, oh my. Read the scripture, read David dancing. Oh, wow. Worship is such a rich experience for us. We need to just be able to dive in. All expressions of worship are welcome here. A bit about generosity. This is what the value says. Because Jesus is generous, so too do we wish to be a generous people. Sometimes when we think about generosity, we think about finances. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But when we talk about generosity in this value, this is really speaking of a heart that is generous, as Jesus was generous to us. This is generous in all facets of our life. Gracious, honoring, respectful people. People who are generous as we talk with others, as we live our lives out. This is what this generosity is all about. We are called to be a generous people because Jesus was generous to us. And so as that comes in, it needs to go out from us. You see that? That's what changes people's lives. That's what allows them to see Jesus in us. Now, let me talk about finances for a moment, because we don't talk a lot about finances here. But it's important. We believe here in tithes and offering. We believe that if you're a part of this community, if you're committed here, that you ought to be tithing and you ought to be providing offerings. We just believe that. We think it's a biblical principle. It's not because God needs the money, and you know that, you've already heard that. But there is this place that when we give, it's giving back to God that which was His and is His in the first place. And it's a form of worship. It's a form of worship. And here we don't give from the bottom, we give from the top. We give to the Lord. So we believe in tithes and offerings over and above our tithes, where we support global work and we support giving to other places, because we just know that it's right and important. One of the things that is important for us not to be is a consumer-driven church. And when I say that, is where we just come to receive, but we give nothing back. And I'm not talking just about finances, I'm talking about other areas of our lives. When we give here, it is not about us. When we give here collectively, we can do amazing things together. We can support 12 global workers. We can support the Gateway of Hope. We can support the Christmas Bureau, as we do every year, and the food bank, largely. We can buy a hospital bed, which we did last year for $10,000, because they needed one. Maybe I'll get that one. Maybe it'll be the Living Waters one. I don't know. But see, when we're generous together, we can do amazing things together. Last year, we gave $20,000 for a well, so people get water. Come on. That's what I'm talking about with generosity. It's not about this place. It's about what we can do. We need to be a generous people. Now, let me just talk about another part of generosity that I think is really important, and that is serving. Jesus was the consummate servant. He came as a servant, and we too are called to serve. We think that if you're a part of this community, you should serve it in one way or another. And there are tons of ways of doing it. You might be on a worship team. You could be at the door greeting. You could be in the nursery looking after children. I was going to say nursing, but that doesn't really make sense. You could be on our parking lot team. There are tons of things that you can do. But listen, when we serve the church, it's good for the church. But you know what? It's even better for you. Because that is a reflection of the heart of Christ. And I can tell you this, that when you serve into the kingdom of God, there is nothing better than that. Because you're a part of what God is doing. You're a part of what He's saying here. You're a part of this expression. So we would ask that you would seriously consider serving here. It's the way the body works best, when we serve one another. That's one of the beauties of community working together. Recognizing and releasing. Every Christian has God-given gifts, allowing them to contribute to the church and its purpose. We value the recognition and the releasing of these gifts. Amazing things happen when we're empowered and released in the things that God has called us to. You know, if you're here and you just don't recognize the fact that you're gifted, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. You are gifted. The Bible tells us that. Each of us have been given a gift or gifts. And we're given those gifts so that we can express them, that they will strengthen the body of Christ, that they will help us with the mission that we're called to. Everybody here's got a gift. Everybody who's a believer in Jesus has a gift. And you know what? It's your responsibility to allow that gift to be expressed. And you'll maybe even already know what it is. It's a passion that's driving inside of you. There's something that you connect with. And it's something that God has placed in you. That is the gift that God has given you. Our job as leadership is to recognize that gift and then to release it. And that's what this is all about. We're committed to that. We'd like to see all of us recognized in our gifts and released in our gifts. I'm not talking about big time or small time or whatever. Whatever it is that you can do, we would really encourage you to do it. Let that passion of your gifts just rise up and be released in it. When we say amazing things can and will happen, they will. When we all rise up in our gifts, this region will be turned upside down. I'm not kidding. When we are raised up in our gifts and we're empowered by the Spirit, amazing things can and do happen. And so we need to get on that train. We need to get going with our gifts. Just let them rise up. We have a course called the Network Course, and a part of that is to help us recognize what our gifts are, and we'll be talking about that as it comes up in the fall. Julie Simeon teaches it. It's an awesome course, and so we want to be practical about that as well, just to help you as you would recognize what your gifts are. Very cool stuff. I'm thankful that he has made me such a gifted singer. Yeah, you know that's not the truth. It's no gifting of singing here. The Great Commission. It's our final core value I want to talk about tonight. We understand the church isn't limited by its building or address. We are the church, and we're called to reach beyond ourselves and impact the lives of others who are far from God. We believe God's got a great plan for humanity and all of creation and are excited to be a part of that. Well, you might say, well, why is a Great Commission a value? Isn't that kind of weird? Why would you do that? Well, it is a value for us. It's a part of who we are. See, we believe that the gift of salvation is not just for us, but for those who are around us, who desperately need the light of Christ in their lives. They're desperate for it. We're surrounded by a community that is desperate for truth, for what's right. It gets so messed up and so confused out there. That's part of what we're called to do, is to be that light on the hilltop that Jesus talks about. That's a part of who we are. Let me just say this. We are not Bible thumpers. We're not yellers or condemners. We're Bible believers who see intentional, loving relationship as the way of showing people the love of Jesus. That's what we believe. We're built to be in relationship with others. We're built to be in relationship with others who don't know Jesus. That's our mission going forward. And so we do that by being a good community here, being an inviting community, having people come here at all stages of belief or unbelief and feeling comfortable being in this house. We do that by working in our life groups. But more importantly, we do that by loving our neighbors, by forming relationships with those that we work with, students who are with us. We form relationships, and they learn to trust us. They learn to see Jesus in us and our brokenness, and they see that Jesus is the real answer for them because he was the real answer for you. We believe that that's what God has called us to. We need to be in relationship with people, not just people who believe. We need to be in relationship with people who don't believe. It's a Great Commission. It's what we're called to. God has built us to grow so we can go. It's a little cheesy, I know that. Well, let me just say it again because I like the ring of it. God has built us to grow so that we can go, and it's true. That's why God's building his church. It's not about what's all happening in here. This is good. Discipleship is necessary, but it has a purpose and an aim. And that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Here's the last thing I want to talk about, and that's our future. Do you know that this church is over 80 years old? It's had an amazing history. And if you ever go to one of our membership classes, you'll learn about the history of the church. It's fantastic. But this church has had its ups and its downs. And do you know that this church was almost closed twice? Twice. Door closed, going to sell everything, gone. But clearly God had another plan for Living Waters Church. The senior pastors before us, Ken and Eunice Gilardi, they came and this building was not here at all. And they had the little church in the front. And there were about maybe 30 people meeting in that church. But they had a heart and they had a faith for something that God would do that would be larger than what was happening over there. And so about 12 of them made the decision to build this church. Go figure that out. Like, does that make sense? We have a congregation of about 40 people, and about 12 of us make a decision to build a church that will house well over 200? Well, that's faith. See, that's what God planted in their spirits. That was faith to build. And so that's what they did. They built this church. And it's amazing. And when we came here 7.5, 8 years ago, Ken and Eunice were called to pastor another church on the island. When we came here, there was about 40 or 50 people. But God spoke to us as a team and said, our job now is to build the church with people. Because now we have the room. You see, there's room at the table here. And so today, we've gone from a church of 40 people to 800. Do you think God is doing something? Do you think God is doing something? Yeah, he's doing something. And listen to this. This is not about the hand of man. This is not about me. It's not about Luke. It's not about any. It's not about us. It isn't about us. All we're doing is stepping out in obedience to what God has called us to do. That's all we're doing. And that's what all any of us should be doing. But when we do that, you see what God does. He builds his church. He brings the best people ever. And he gives us a mission. He tells us what it is that we're supposed to be doing. See, this is what excites me. Makes me very excited. See, there's more. There's so much more ahead. This is the foundation. The Lord has called us, this community, this incredible house salad, to go well beyond these walls. Touch neighborhoods, whole neighborhoods and schools and workplaces, all of that. And I want you to know, this isn't about a fancy kind of evangelical formula, step 1, 2, 3, and 4. It's not that at all. We're simply going to do what Jesus did, and that is to love others. To love others. So this is what we'll do. This is what he told his disciples to do. To go, to love hugely, to live well, to make friends, and to grow his church. That's it. It's simple. But it's the most profound thing in the world that we can do. We can change this entire region with the love of Christ through us. Would you stand up, everybody? I want to pray. Father, we're thankful. Thankful for you. We're thankful for your church. We're thankful for community. We're thankful for friends. And God, all that you're doing amongst us, it's amazing. And God, we take none of that for granted, and we take credit for nothing. All glory is yours, God. All glory is yours. Our desire simply is to walk well in this, what you have given us. May we be good stewards of this, Lord. May we walk from this house as a people of God who understand that we are called to love and to love well. Oh God, empower us by your Spirit, I pray. Give us faith to believe for things that are well beyond what we see today. Give us faith, Lord. I give you thanks, God, for everybody in this house. What an amazing family it is. Bless them, God. Encourage them, I pray. Jesus, work in our lives. Change us. Lord, heal us. Bring us out of the things that we're into now into new things, I pray. Lord, help us to be great lights in dark places. We ask this in your powerful name. And as people said, amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. Hey, this coming Sunday night, we're kicking off the Gospel of Mark series. Luke is going to do that. It's going to be great. God bless you, everybody. Have a great night.